Welcome back. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. Andy Klein with you. And joining me now is Brenda Wright from the Juneau Audubon Society. The spotlight this week on the pelagic cormorant.
Yes. Hi, Andy.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
Let's talk about this. Number one, the cormorant. I think maybe most people are familiar with that bird. I've heard them called water turkeys or all kinds of things, but big, black, long-necked bird.
Yes, and it only winters with us. It doesn't really spend the summer. There's a huge nesting colony over in Sitka next to Mount Edgecombe, a great big huge sea cave.
Now, why do they winter with us? What is that? Food? Is that food?
Well, based? You know, it's more sheltered in here than it is on the outer coast.
So they're typically away out Pacific outer coasts.
Well, they in breeding season they go to different places than winter. Mm-hmm. In winter they do like sheltered places with food. So we get both of those.
Now I moved up here a long time ago from Florida. My folks are still there. I see cormorants down there. Is that the same breed of same type?
Okay. Well, they do have us on both coasts, but they're more common on the west coast and northern.
Okay.
And definitely on the Asian side too, down to Japan.
And then the other thing is that down there anyway in Florida, there's also anhingas.
Uh-huh, yes.
And you can't – I mean, I have a hard time telling them apart. The anhinga has a skinnier neck, mm-hmm. and they're called water snakes sometimes because they go through the water and their head bobbing out looks like a snake.
I know that's the one thing about the cormorant. When you see it swimming, it doesn't have really good waterproof feathers at all. And so it's kind of low in the water and this long skinny neck sticking up. It's like the picture of Loch Ness Monster.
Well, they kind of swim under the water when they're diving, right?
They use, in fact, they're very fast because they use their legs, not their wings.
Okay.
They just open their wings just a little bit for steering, but they use both legs pumping at the same time.
They have webbed feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, but they don't do the thing where they don't fly and like jab down into the water from flying. They just more start at the surface mm-hmm. and then go and and mm-hmm. swim around. And
yep. And they do mostly more shallow, which is, you know, that fits out here too for the winter. They like the places where there's lots of herrings, you know, crawling around.
And is that their main diet, herring?
Small fish is their main diet. Uh-huh. Yeah. A lot of sand lance.
Do they go after crustaceans or anything like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially during breeding season.
I see. Okay.
And that's really interesting because there's three different cormorants, and one of them doesn't like rocky reefs types at all. So it goes down to the bottom where it's smooth mud or something, and ours stays on the rocky part.
Now, cormorants, were cormorants at one point endangered because of their feather trade?
I don't remember that because they have this beautiful green gloss.
Right,
if you
iridescent.
Can see them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing about cormorants, I think it's cool and funny and a little goofy is that, as you say, their feathers get waterlogged.
Mm-hmm.
So you often see them out.
Yes.
With their wings spread way out, just hanging out.
Yes, indeed.
Right.
And it's one of the easiest places to see that downtown is right on that buoy over there by the the marine docks. There's a big buoy, a big mid-channel buoy, and they love that place in the winter.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like a channel marker?
Yeah, channel marker.
Oh, really? And so I have to watch for that. I don't know if I've seen a cormorant out there.
Yeah, sometimes it's just totally loaded.
What are the months that they're here?
I just happened to see seven of them last Thursday, so I think they're arriving back.
Wow, cool. Then did you see
them
downtown?
They were out there drying their wings.
That's where they were at that
marker? They were over by a reef by Aran Island.
Oh, okay. All right.
But the sun came out for a few hours, and there they were.
And what are they up to in the winter?
They're just growing. I guess the young ones don't breed or anything till they're two. And so they're just, you know, passing the time.
Eating, surviving.
Yep, yep.
Staying warm as they can.
Yep.
What happened? That's always interesting to me with cormorants. Like, they actually will get chilled mm-hmm. if they don't dry out their feathers,
yes,
right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But what happens if it's pouring rain and they've been diving and all? They just have to get through it.
Yeah, I know. But they do have a nice, a big oil gland that they can preen their feathers with. And so once they're out of the water, they can start to waterproof it that way.
That's why they're working with their beak all the time on the feathers.
Yes.
So where's the oil gland?
I'm not sure on this one, sorry.
Neckish area? Or
I would, you know, with that kind of longish beak, I would hope it would be closer down to the wing.
Kind of under their wing?
But I really don't know.
That's interesting. So they get their beak oiled,
yes.
and then they run through the feathers.
Yeah, preen them all and keep preening them, and then the rain will stop off, and then maybe if it gets windy, they can put their wings out.
Yeah, windy or a little bit of sun, a day like today where there's some sun going on.
Yeah, they'd be happy out
they're
there.
They're happy, yeah.
Sunbathing.
Do these – so these cormorants, they're localized to Alaska. Are they localized to Alaska, or do they go south and north?
They go actually all the way to Baja.
They do.
Yeah. But down there, they have to – they're in the same general areas, the double-crested and the – I ran on my head. The other
okay.
one.
Okay. Yeah, it's the third. Yeah, okay. So, and that's where they're breeding?
Yeah, because it was really interesting to me because since they don't breed till they're two, some of the ones that come from up here actually go like 600 miles south.
Wow.
And then they don't come back until it's breeding time, you know, a year and a half later. But so I'd rather be in Baja for the winter.
Yeah, sure. What the heck? No, so let's listen to a cormorant here. I've got something from the All About Birds website, actually. eBird is another place you can go, but I went to All About Birds, and that's a great place to go and just listen, and you actually get a video of a lot of the birds that are on there as well. So here's the call. How would you describe it?
Broken car axle.
Broken car axle. So if you hear this, it's no one's in trouble. It's just a cormorant making this call. So here it is. See if we can get it loaded here. It's just loading up. Well, it's just kind of squeaking, and that's sort of a rookery of them, just kind of squeaking, but just that kind of squeaking and squawking sound. So, I mean, I don't know that I've heard them very too much. Do they call a lot, or I just see them?
Yeah, I guess they're much more vocal in the breeding areas.
Oh yeah,
and
they like the
little tiny ledges where the babies can just turn around and dump on the outside of the nest. So it's really skinny nests that they have.
Yeah. Does anything predate on them?
Yeah, there's quite a few birds that'll take the eggs or the babies.
Oh, the eggs,
ravens,
sure.
Ravens and crows and bald eagles and, yeah.
All that.
And some of the islands and the Aleutians especially, there are still some foxes and stuff.
Okay, so but once they're adults, they're not predated on very much?
Yeah,
not quite as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, interesting. All right. Well, what else is going on in the bird world right now that people should know about?
I'm sure you might have noticed that the mountain ash are dripping berries everywhere.
Yes.
And that's just perfect timing because the cedar waxwings are chowing down big time. I haven't got to see them myself, but boy, they can get into big flocks and just swoop down on a tree. But
I saw a bunch in Petersburg when I was there this summer.
Yeah.
There were a lot of waxwings. I hadn't seen any in Juneau, but it just seemed like just that far enough south there were waxwings.
Mm-hmm.
They were hopping around looking at rose hips on rose bush. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do seem attracted to those red ones. I noticed that all the elderberries at sea level are totally bare. The robins have chowed down on them already.
Right. Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
We like those robins and thrushes and all those chowing down and that stuff. Well, that's cool. Anything else happening?
Well, it's since the migration is starting, we're also the really fun thing to look at is the migration thing on eBird.
Okay,
you can look at my migration maps for other birds, but also that means some of them are coming back, just like the cormorants, the first ones I've seen. But the berry thrushes were just singing the other day too, so you know they're having not all of them have left.
Yeah, that's right. And do the berry thrushes actually leave, or do they just kind of?
If it's a mild winter, I saw them one winter when they were. It was really cold, but they would come down on a high tide and just eat right along the shoreline of the ice and the water. And it's like, okay, why didn't you leave?
That's interesting.
But most of the time, most things that eat worms and other things from non-frozen ground leave.
Sure, right. Yeah, they have to go do that. Well, I know it's also International Coastal Trash Pickup Day happening.
Yes,
coming
tomorrow.
Up. Okay.
Tomorrow, and it's on Churchill Way, 9 to noon. There's a very, very nice spawning stream, a very nice clean stream. And so that's where they're concentrating on picking trash up around it. And the Alaska Brewery Company is offering a beverage if you come and help.
Oh, all right. Well, that sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
Responsibly picking up trash.
Yep.
Okay. Well, very cool. Well, that's happening again, 9 to noon, Churchill Way. And that's the International Coastal Trash Pickup event that's happening across the world.
Across the world.
Yeah, very cool. Well, Brenda, thanks so much. Brenda's the program manager for the Juneau Audubon Society, Brenda Wright. Thank you so much for coming in, talking to us about cormorants. I love those birds. I think they're really cool. Weird. kind of got a little gooky, a little goofy, right? Yeah, a little geeky.
That, yeah, well, if you get to see their gleam there, that's mighty fine.
But when they swim along, yeah, they kind of like they move their neck and they're really cool. And they have a powerful looking neck. And if you do ever get to see a cormorant fish and really down a big fish, yeah, it's wild because you can see that fish struggling all the way down the neck. Yeah, it's a sad end.
They only come up for the big ones, especially if or they have quills. You really have to toss them around and get them going the right direction.
Right, right. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about what's happening out there in the bird world.
Oh, thanks, Andy.
Okay, thank you.